go up to Jesus and be able to ask him, and he could just help you right there in person. So the disciples and other close people around Jesus enjoyed that. But he said, you know, it's not over with when I leave. I'm going to leave you something that's going to help you. So in the 14th chapter of John and verse 16, we read these words, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit represents Jesus, doesn't it? When Jesus had to go, he said, "I'm going to have to go, but I'm going to give you something in my place." And that is the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus. When you ask him in your life, you do so with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there representing Jesus. It comes into your life the moment you're saved. The Spirit comes in. Acts, the second chapter in verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And from that day forward, that Spirit has been with us to guide us the moment we accept him as our Savior. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. You know, the Trinity is three things. It's God appearing in three ways: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. All representing God. God in three forms. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. The Holy Spirit has power, just like Christ had. And you and I, when we do things, we do so within the Spirit that gives us power to do it. We can't preach without the power. Now, we can get up and say a few words and get by, but we don't preach without the Spirit leading us and giving us power to be able to say the words that God would have us to say. Many times it's difficult to understand all about the Holy Spirit. Some years ago, right before an All-Star game, the American League managers were meeting, and they were talking about Stan Musial. Some of you older, you know who I'm talking about, one of the greatest hitters that ever lived. And they were saying, "How are we going to pitch to him tomorrow during the game?" One said, "Let's pitch him high and outside." The other one said, "Let's pitch him low inside." And they got to thinking about it. They said, "Wait, how are we going to, in one night, decide how to get him when we've been spending 15 years and hadn't saw him?" It's kind of like that with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? How are you going to be able, in one sermon, 25 or 30 minutes, be able to explain exactly all about the Holy Spirit? But I hope we can say some things that will that you already know, just a reminder. But in all that we say and do, we might think about the Holy Spirit's importance in our life. How important, and how we treat the Holy Spirit is important. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? Let's just think of some things the Holy Spirit does in our life. First of all, he convicts of sin. Now, he convicts lost people and Christians. Lost people that don't know Jesus, he convicts. The Bible said, and I meant to look it up and never did get around to doing it. He says, only can you come to Jesus when what? The Spirit draws you. You know, a lot of people got the concept anytime you want to, you know, from now on to eternity you can come. And that's pretty much right, but there are times the Spirit may not draw. And when you reach that time in your life, the Spirit doesn't do anything for your life. And a person that's lost without Jesus, depending on one day coming to Christ, you're gambling with your life. Because the Spirit may not be drawing you at that particular time when you want to come. So we come only as the Spirit draws. And then after we become a child of God, He convicts us of our sins. Now, I don't have to tell you that. If you're a child of God, you face that every day, don't you? You're reminded. The Holy Spirit reminds you. Good reminder, isn't He? And when we do wrong, that Holy Spirit's going to remind us. And when the Holy Spirit doesn't remind us that we're doing wrong, it's something wrong. Because all of us have that Spirit in our lives. So, first of all, He convicts us of sin. Second, He seals us. In Ephesians 4:30, I almost thought Brother Tracy was getting on my message. He went 4:32 this morning, but it's mighty close. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit comes in your life and seals that salvation that you have entrusted to Christ. Now, if that wasn't so, you'd wake up some days just rejoicing and feel that salvation. You'd wake up at other days when things weren't good and you'd feel very lost, wouldn't you? But it's the Spirit that seals us. When it comes in our life, it seals us. How long does it seal us? Well, what does the Scripture say? Until the day of redemption. When is that? When Jesus comes back and redeems us. So that Spirit seals us. Aren't you thankful for that? A lot of days you'd feel very lost if it wasn't the Holy Spirit sealing you and keeping you. So He seals us. Ephesians, the first chapter, and verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of glory. Seal unto the day of redemption. We're grateful for that Holy Spirit that does that for us. The third thing, He teaches us God's will. The Holy Spirit teaches us what God wants us to do. Does that mean we always do it? No, it doesn't. Does it? We don't always listen to that Spirit directing us. But guess what? We pay for it a lot of times too, don't we? The Spirit leads us to do something and we know we ought to do it, but we don't do it. Sometimes it's committing sin. Sometimes it's the sin of omission that we don't do it. But the will of God, staying in the will of God, being able to do what God wants us to do in our life, the Holy Spirit does that, strives and tries to help us. We also, as we read God's Word, as we study Sunday school, as we hear sermons, all that helps us to be able to understand what the Spirit is teaching about what to do with our lives. And so we're grateful to that Holy Spirit that keeps us in God's will. And when we're out of God's will, let me tell you, it's not good. It's not good. And we're kind of in dangerous territory when we get out of God's will, not doing what God wants us to do. The fourth thing about the Spirit, it comforts us in the time of trouble. I bet everybody here has felt that comfort when you've lost a loved one, someone close to you. Friends are great during that time. They help us a lot. It's just something about us that only God, through the Holy Spirit, can comfort. In the midst of all that, sometimes you feel that old comforting hand just reach around you and draw you up to Him and give you peace in the midst of trouble, midst of sorrow. That's the Holy Spirit being able to represent Jesus, ministering to our lives and helping us along the way. And when the trouble comes, we don't just give up. We feel the Holy Spirit comforting and helping and guidance. So we're grateful for that Spirit who comforts us in the time of sorrow and the time of troubles in our life. The fifth thing is it gives us power to overcome Satan. Now, I don't have to tell you that Satan can overcome us, do I? I don't have to tell you how much he works on us every day, do I? He does. He knows our weakness. He knows just what to do to defeat us. And if we have to do it within our own power, guess what? We won't make it. But we do so in the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us, that we might be able to endure whatever he throws. And sometimes there's some pretty good curves that he throws us. But we're able to endure because we have the Holy Spirit leading us, being able to help us. As I said before, whatever he calls us to do, he'll help us do it. That power of the Spirit will do it if we'll depend on him. If it's to witness, if it's to do something else, we do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, he helps us. Whatever God calls us to do. And he wants us to be able to study and prepare ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't do anything. It means that we study and do what we can, and then the power of the Spirit then helps us do what God wants us to do. You know, I'm thankful for school. I'm thankful for seminaries. I'm thankful for books that help us in knowledge. But they can go on so far. The Holy Spirit is what's going to have to take it and be able to use it in wisdom that we can understand. So we're grateful for that Holy Spirit that gives us power to stand and preach, gives us power to stand and teach, power to sing. You know, we can't do it within ourselves, but God can bless. Can't he bless the choir as they sing and bless those that come and sing? You can just feel the Lord blessing them, giving them power to make the difference. When we do what God wants us to do. Now, when we don't call on the Lord to help us, you know, we just do it on our own. And many times it's failure when we don't depend on God to help us. So the difference in a service might be what? The Holy Spirit working in our lives in the service. Hadn't you seen services that are so alive and you just feel almost the Spirit walking up and down the aisles? It's the Holy Spirit directing and helping us to do and giving us power to do what God wants us to do. Not on our own, but it's the power of the Spirit that helps us do. Now, there's some sins against the Holy Spirit, some things that we don't want to do. As I said, the Holy Spirit's important in each of our lives, and how we treat it is important. And what are the sins that we don't want to do against the Spirit? First of all, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 4:30 again, I read earlier, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, how do we grieve the Spirit? By sin. Sin grieves the Spirit. Not following his will grieves the Spirit. Doing things our way grieves the Spirit. And so the Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit. Another thing the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? Well, today at the end of the service, we'll give an invitation. If God would lead somebody to respond to that invitation, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, guess what? You're quenching the Spirit. If God would tell you to witness to someone, go see someone, do something, and we don't do it, we quenching the Spirit. So God, you can imagine now the Holy Spirit is an important person in our life. And when we quench it, we can understand what a danger it would impose upon our life. Another way we can, the danger of against the Holy Spirit is resisting or not doing as God would allow us in our lives. And he says, you stick, this is in Acts the 7th chapter and verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your father did, so do you. Resisting, not following the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Lord. And then one final way we grieve the Holy Spirit is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Let me read this verse in Matthew 12, 31 and 32. And I want you to listen what he says here. Therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Brother, that put the emphasis upon the Holy Spirit and doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit here will never be forgiven, the word says here. I was impressed when it said you can say something against Jesus and get forgiveness. Say something against God and get forgiveness. But when you do something against the Holy Spirit deliberately, there is no forgiveness. Now, how can that be done? First of all, literally as it says, I've heard people curse the Holy Spirit. I've heard of people curse the Holy Spirit. I've heard of people saying, I wish the Holy Spirit would leave me, not dwell and try to get me to come to Christ. What does the Scripture say? The Spirit will just leave and go away. How other ways can you do it? By constantly resisting the Holy Spirit, saying no. No, the Holy Spirit, God is patient with people day after day, week after week, sometimes years. But there comes a time, sometime in the life of an individual where God is not patient anymore. And a patient has resisted God all those years. And this verse comes into play of not forgiveness. No one, even though they're lost, would ever want to get to this part in life to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to be able to get to the point where they can never get forgiveness in this life. And it's important to be able to respond and do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. There are other things that I wish we had time this morning to say. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Romans the 12th chapter has a long list of gifts the Holy Spirit gives us. Prophecy, to teach and to preach. Ministry, to help others. Encouragers, prayer warriors. Giving. The Holy Spirit gives us those gifts. And every one of us that a child of God has a gift. And some have more. And how important it is to do whatever that gift is. Not to quench the Spirit. Not to disregard what the Spirit would lead you to do. But you might be able to do that the Spirit leads. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are so important. And then again, if we had time this morning, we would think about the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians, the fifth chapter. You might want to read it at home. Gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to listen as I read these gifts. The Holy Spirit in a person gives these gifts: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. Isn't that a good list? The Holy Spirit leads that. If the Holy Spirit's in our life like it should be, these are the results. Now, what does that tell you if the opposite of these things I've read out are in a person's life? What does that tell you? Something's missing in it. The Holy Spirit is not there like it ought to be. And one other thing let me mention here, the Holy Spirit comes and never leaves. But the amount of Holy Spirit that you show varies. At times, you're so close to God, you can just almost feel out and touch Him. And that's when the Holy Spirit is so full in your life. And there are other times, they're kind of dry times in your life. It's always there, but we don't activate it to help us many times. And so how full it is in our life varies many times according to what we do. But we want those fruits of the Spirit. We want to listen to the Spirit so there's love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control, and faithfulness in our life. And people can see it. Lost people can see it. And they can be able to know that we've been with Jesus and the Holy Spirit's in our life. Well, what I've tried to say today, the Holy Spirit's important. You know that. Every one of us are Christians. Know the importance of the Holy Spirit and how we ought to treat it in our lives so that we won't resist, quench, do anything against the Holy Spirit. There are consequences. When we reject and when we do things against the Holy Spirit, there are consequences. And so we don't want that in our life. We want to do those things that please Jesus, that helps our church and helps mankind in general by listening to that Holy Spirit and doing what God wants us to do. You know, the greatest need of the church today is to have the Holy Spirit at work in its members. I'm convinced of that. The greatest need in the church is for the Holy Spirit to be at work among us members, like He wants it to. And may we just be conscious as we leave today, the Holy Spirit is there, and how we treat it, and how we thank God for it, and how we try to do what the Holy Spirit would lead us to do, that we might be able to please Jesus just as if He were here today. That Holy Spirit is that person in our lives that we want to serve and honor. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for this service. Thank You for the beautiful songs, and thank You for a country that we can be free. We thank You for that liberty that You give us in Jesus, that we can come to You and be saved. Feel the Holy Spirit come in our life, and Lord, let it work and let it help us. And so we pray that. I pray in my own life that I'd be conscious of that fact, and I pray in the lives of everyone here that we'd be conscious of doing what the Holy Spirit would have us to do. And then I pray, Lord, if there's one here that has never received Christ, Lord, they wouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit anymore. They wouldn't resist the Holy Spirit, but they would come today and make things right with You. Lord, bless You this invitation, we pray. May we be able to do those things would please You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we stand together and as we sing during the invitation, you feel like the Lord is leading you to make some decision for Him. If he's leading you, you come. You follow the Holy Spirit as he directs, as we sing.